You were right. There are a lot of us gone this morning. But we're thankful for your presence. We're thankful especially for those of you who are visiting with us. We realize that several of you are probably traveling, and due to the Thanksgiving Day celebration and so forth, probably on your way home. Among our visitors, my cousin and his wife, Max and Joy Bingman, are with us. They live in the Columbus, Ohio area, and they've been visiting in the Nashville area, and so we're thankful to have them with us, and looking forward, and I've enjoyed the worship service this morning as we've joined our hearts and our minds together in the songs that we have sung and the prayer that we've been led in, and our remembrance of Christ and the great sacrifice in his death that he gave on behalf of us. Certainly we've been blessed already this morning. This morning I'd like to direct your attention to one of the earliest chapters of the Bible, Genesis chapter 4. The first 12 verses reads, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time a brother, Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord had respect to Abel and to his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." It's sad that one of the earliest incidences of the Bible is that of a tragedy. In fact, there's a couple of tragedies that take place here in these few short verses. But this morning, I'd like for us to consider this question. Are you following Cain? As we read this story, you'd probably think, well, I would never do what Cain did. And I would hope that that would be the true of each and every one of us here. But the fact of the matter is that most of the world today is following the example of Cain, repeating it over and over and over again. As you look at this and you read this incident, you see the sacrifice that is offered. See, Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a shepherd. They offer their sacrifices to God, and God is pleased with Abel's sacrifice, but not pleased with Cain's sacrifice. And it might be that our first reaction to that might be that of Cain's. Well, that doesn't seem fair. I mean, Cain offered of what he worked at and what he labored at, he offered of his crops. As we get into the lesson this morning, we'll find out where the problem came in on this. You might think that, well, You know, I wouldn't become so angry with someone that I would kill them. My disagreement with them wouldn't be so great that I would kill them, but so often we act in this way. So let's notice some points here. The first thing that we notice is that Cain was religious. And you'd say, well, that's a good thing. Yeah. But one's religious service may be in error. Hebrews 11 and verse 4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead, still speaks. So we see that Cain's religion was not by faith. He offered a sacrifice to God, but unlike Abel's sacrifice that was by faith, Cain's was not by faith. What do we mean by that? Well, Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing. Any faith. Anything you believe, anything you trust, anything you act upon came by hearing. You heard it from someone, you read it someplace, maybe you'd listen to your own thoughts. But faith comes by hearing. The faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Abel's faith came by hearing the Word of God. He heard what God required in sacrifice, and he offered what God required in sacrifice, and his sacrifice was well-pleasing to God. Cain's sacrifice was not well-pleasing. It was not by faith. It was something other than what God had said should be offered in sacrifice to him. A religion that is not produced by hearing the Word of God is ignorant worship. And you might say, well, why would anybody worship God ignorantly? But they do. They have for so long. For instance, in Acts chapter 17, we find that Paul has come to Athens. In verses 22 through 23, it says, Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I found even an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship, not knowing him, I proclaim to you. The Athenians, of course, steeped in Greek culture, and you familiar with the gods of the Greeks and so forth, of mythology, and how that culture made their gods in their image, that their gods had the faults that they had, and they celebrated those faults. And of course, you had all of the different statues to all of the different gods and goddesses all throughout Athens. And in addition to all of those Greek gods that were there and goddesses, they also had an altar to the with the inscription to the unknown God. Just in case we've forgotten any god or there's a god that we don't know about, we ought to honor him too. And so they made a statue to him. Paul says, that's the God I'm going to tell you about. You don't know him, but I do. And you need to know him. Because God is not silent. It's not that he has withheld the revelation of himself from us. In fact, he has revealed himself to us. In his creation, he's revealed himself to us in his word. Psalm 19, that entire psalm, really presents that thought to us. But people today act as the people of ancient time. As I've said before, people are people no matter where or when they live. We're all the same. We repeat the same things over and over and over again. Men invent gods to themselves, invent religions to themselves. They might profess that they believe in God, but they don't worship God, they don't serve God, they don't know God, but they believe in Him. Believe in Jesus, but they don't know Him. But it's not the Lord's fault that they don't know Him. It's through their own failing to seek Him and to follow Him and to discipline themselves in the ways of God. One's religious service, like Cain's religious service, might be in vain. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. He says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." In spite of what they profess before God and men, they worship that which is the product of the commandments of men, making their worship, making their religion vain, Jesus said, or empty, meaningless, before God. Religion does not make one righteous. Rather than walking in the pathway of righteousness, one may be walking in the way of Cain. Cain had a religion. Cain offered a sacrifice. He believed in God. He offered a sacrifice to God. He expected God to receive the sacrifice. And God said, your sacrifice is not pleasing. Do you believe in God? Do you worship Him the way that He has specified that we worship Him? Do you live a life that is in alignment with the righteousness that comes by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation and of redemption and of fellowship with God? Are we walking the way of God, or are we walking and following Cain and his example? Cain was self-willed. Cain offered what suited him rather than what God had specified. The people in the days of Nehemiah had made the same mistake. And Nehemiah said of them and testified against them, he says, that you might bring them back to your law. He says, I have testified against them that you might bring them back to your law. Yet they acted proudly, and they did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, they stiffened their necks, and would not hear. Yet for many years you had patience with them, and testified against them by your Spirit in your prophets. Yet they would not listen. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. So we see that he outlines here that the people in the days of Nehemiah were motivated by pride. Perhaps that's what motivated Cain. Perhaps Cain thought, well, it's fine for my brother to offer an animal sacrifice because after all, that's what he works with every day. That's what his vocation is. That's where his focus is. And it is a real sacrifice for him to offer of the fat of the flock, the very best of the flock, in sacrifice to God. That's a sacrifice for him, but it's not really a sacrifice for me if I buy one of my brother's sheep from him and offer that. It's more of a sacrifice for me if I offered the best of my crops. Perhaps that's what he was thinking without realizing that he was being lifted up with pride and thinking that his way was just as good as what God had specified. People in the days of Nehemiah, it says, dismissed God's will, Obviously, Cain dismissed God's will. And so many in the days of Nehemiah had dismissed the will of God, and so many today dismiss the will of God. Have you ever heard anybody say, "Well, I know what the Bible says, but..." Check up right there. I know what the Bible says. I know what God says in His Word, but I know what God has told me to offer in sacrifice to Him, but... Sound familiar? That always results, as it did in the days of Nehemiah and as it did with Cain, it always results in sin against God's judgment, against God's specification. And God will give such a one over to destruction. We are to behold the goodness and the severity of God. God is wondrously good. And He is just as wondrously severe with those who discount Him and dishonor Him. In Proverbs 29 and verse 1, He says, "He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Just as God came and talked with Cain and said, you know, just do the right thing and everything will be okay. Instead of doing that, Cain stiffened his neck, hardened his heart. And sadly, that story is repeated over and over and over throughout the history of mankind. We must turn from our will to practice God's will. You remember that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 38, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." When Jesus came down from heaven, was He working against His will? No, this is that ellipsis construction again. Not only, not merely, but more especially, not but. Not merely to do my will, but more especially and more completely and more fully, I came to do my Father's will. Now, His will and His Father's will were one, but He gave His Father the glory for His will and for the plan of salvation. We talked about this morning from 1 Peter chapter 4, how that basically this comes down to discipline. When we suffer in the flesh, we are suffering to squelch the desire of the flesh and to bring to accusation the desire of the Spirit being instructed in the way of God and the way of holiness, and that desire for holiness and purity, that seed planted within us, we strive after that. And so we stop one habit to start another habit. Is that easy? No. No. In fact, you might liken it to suffering. There's probably a few of us, I say us, who are going to try to lose weight here pretty soon. Is that easy? No, it's not easy. We have a craving for certain foods. And yet, with this desire to be healthier, we will implement the self-control that it takes, the suffering, if you will, that is necessary to accomplish our goal. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. That we have to deny the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we must embrace the way of godliness, the way of righteousness and holiness. Turn from our will to practice God's will. Paul said it this way about himself. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not about me. My life isn't about me and serving me and doing what I, Paul, want to do. It's about me doing what the Lord wants me to do. That's what motivates me, he says. So the question would be, are you walking in the way of Cain, or are you walking in the way of Christ? Cain was envious. As we read that story, we see that he became envious of the fact that his brother's sacrifice was acceptable to God. Envy is the resentment or ill will that comes from witnessing or hearing about the advantages of others. We live in a society right now that is trying to implement envy among the citizenship. Be aware of that. When they start talking about privilege and such things, trying to make different groups envious of other groups. Cain's envy of his brother's acceptance by God opened the door of anger through which murder entered. James chapter 3 and verse 16 plainly says, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. God reasoned with Cain. Repent, Cain. Do what's right, and everything will be all right. But instead of listening to God, God went and talked to his brother Cain, or his brother Abel. Cain went and talked to his brother Abel. What do you think they talked about? You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a psychologist to figure out what they were talking about. They did what you would be talking about. When you go to the Word of God, and the Word of God tells you, you're wrong. The Word of God tells you, you're a sinner. You need to change your life. There's things that you're doing in your life that you can't do those things. But you want to do those things. But you want to be in fellowship with God too. You want to go to heaven. You just want to continue doing the things that you're doing. So instead of listening to God, you go and talk to somebody else and say, what do you think about this? What do you feel about this? And if they tell you you can be in fellowship with God while you're walking in darkness, you'll listen to them rather than listen to God. Abel didn't do that. Don't you think God's being unfair with me, brother? Don't you think God should have accepted my sacrifice? It was offered in sincerity. I know it wasn't what God told us to offer in sacrifice to him, but I was sincere in offering it. It was a real sacrifice for me to watch those things go up in smoke. And Abel said, you know, brother, I think we ought to do what God tells us to do if we want to be right with God. Envy led to anger, and anger leads to murder. That's true today. We might not be physically killing each other, but we will separate ourselves from each other. We will divide from each other because we're not in agreement with one another, because one will accuse the other of their transgression. Joseph's brother sold him into slavery because of envy. Saul tried to kill David because of his envy when he saw that David was going to replace him as king. The elders and the chief priests delivered up Jesus to be crucified because of their envy of Jesus and the following that he had. Envy is a terrible thing. Envy appears in several lists, including the list that the Bible describes as the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. Again, are you following Cain and living in envy of others? Or do you follow the Lord? Cain ignored God's warning. Once again, I want to share this with you. Genesis 4 and verse 7. God said to Cain, if you do well, if you do what I've told you to do, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. In other words, another sin lies at the door. Magnified sin lies at the door. You're going to continue transgressing me. And its desire personifies sin here. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. You need to discipline yourself and just say, Lord, whatever you say, that's what I'll do. Turn from your pride, turn from your envy, humble yourself before God, and just do what he tells you to do. God took the time and the opportunity to warn Cain. It shows God's love and patience. He knew that Cain could do better. He also knew that Cain was being tempted to sin, that this sin was going to lead to another sin. Although Cain was warned of his attitude and the threat of further sin, he did not repent. Sin deceives us by trying to make us forget about its consequences. But God tells us of the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. We need to be warned about the exceedingly sinfulness of sin. God's word, Psalm 19 and verse 11, teaches us to love God and love his word, to live by it. Ignoring God's words violates the educated conscience. When we know God's will, when God's word speaks to us, we know what God would have us to do. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is breathed of God, and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof. God's word will show us where we're wrong. God's word is profitable for correction. It'll show us how to correct the wrong. That's what God was doing with Cain here. God's word leads us into all righteousness and every good work. Once the conscience is hardened, there remains little hope for repentance. When you look into God's word and it corrects you or instructs you or reproves you, you've got a choice to make. What choice are you going to make? Are you going to humble yourself before God? Or are you going to harden your heart against his word? You've been instructed, you've been educated in his way, but you're going to turn from what's revealed there to follow your own way. In Titus 1, verses 15 and 16, it says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. To the pure, all things are pure. Is it your desire to be pure? God is pure. Christ is pure. We are to purify ourselves as he is pure. In our pursuit of purity, we pursue his way and his word and be found within doing those things that he tells us. Are you ignoring God's warning? Are you following Cain? Cain would not master sin. Had a choice. You can say no to sin and conquer it, or sin is going to conquer you, Cain. What are you going to do? Cain had committed one sin. Now others were lying at the door, waiting, crouching, ready to destroy. Cain would have to rule over them. He's going to have to discipline himself, humble himself before God, and have rule over sin, or they were going to rule him. It's God's will that we master the desire of sin, that we practice discipline as well. We must defeat it and overcome it. Let it not master us. The way of Cain is self-willed and sin-ridden. It ends in destruction. So the question is, will you follow Cain and let sin master your life, or will you follow Christ in the pathway of righteousness? Cain had a choice. He chose wrong. And each and every one of us here this morning would say, Cain chose wrong. We can see where Cain made the mistake that he did. Cain chose wrong. The people in Nehemiah's day, we can say, they chose wrong. And when Nehemiah was preaching to them and telling them to repent, reasoning with them from the prophets, from the scriptures, they chose wrong. They hardened their hearts against the word of God. The question is, what are you going to do? Will you humble yourself before God? Turn from yourself to live for him, to do his will, let his will become your will. The Bible calls that repentance, and Jesus said, except you repent, you will perish. We would hope that you're here this morning, mindful of your sin, but also desirous to be forgiven of your sin. You're mindful of the fact that you've separated yourself from God by your sin, but you're mindful also of what God has taught us, that we can be united with him, be brought back into fellowship with him, redeemed by the blood of Christ and the death that he paid on behalf of our sin. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Abide in my word, and you will be my true disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Will you be free from your sin today, to live for him, to glorify him? We would hope so. If you're here today and you're a child of God, out of favor with him, you need to make things right with him. James tells us to confess our faults to one another, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation in any way this morning, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?